Hello, hello.
Hello.
God bless you once again. We welcome you to the Mind of Christ Covenant Broadcast Hour. We're thanking God for his grace and his mercy, thanking God for his goodness, how he has blessed us and kept us, how he has brought us safely this far, just magnifying the Lord for how, amen, many blessings he has bestowed upon us and has given us, amen, his grace, his mercy. Amen. We're thanking God today for his grace and for his mercy, for him answering, amen, prayers. We serve a God that in spite of the times and in spite of the situations that we go through, we serve a God who is reachable. Amen. He said, amen, that he would never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Amen. That he would be with us always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And we're thanking God today for his promises, but we know that the promises of God, amen, it's sure, amen, and he holds his word. He sticks to his word. He's not like man that would say one thing and then change up, but God, we're thanking God for him being who he is and him being a prayer-answering God, a never-changing God, and we're grateful tonight, amen, because the Lord has blessed and brought us safe until this point in time. And we have no complaints. Amen. But we're grateful. Amen. We're thanking God. Amen. I want to share a word with you tonight of the goodness of the Lord. God is doing some awesome things and mighty things, and he's moving by his power. And we have to be in a position and a place, amen, to receive of the Lord. Amen. We have to be in a place, amen, that God can use us. I often hear individuals speaking of being used by God and different things, and the Lord said this and the Lord said that, the Lord told me to do this and this, and I'm saying to myself, God is not wishy-washy, amen. God is not a flaky or an indecisive God. God is not a God that's confused. He knows all things, and when he tells us to do a thing and to move in him, we have to do just that and move in God. Now, if it is really him telling us to move, but individuals say, the Lord told me to do this and this, and they'll start out doing it, and, amen, sometime a little later, they give them a few weeks to maybe a month or so, they're doing something else, and now they have a different command or a different order or a different answer from God. And that's not how God works, amen. If he told you to stay there where you are and work in the vineyard, wherever you may be in worshiping at, or wherever you may be in God's, in this army of the Lord, wherever God has you serving at, he gives us orders and commands because it's all working for our good. See, he matures us. He structures us. He builds us, amen, through the tests and the trials and the things that we go through and experience, amen. That's why he said that all things work together for the good of them who are called according to his purpose, amen. If you love God and you're called according to his purpose, your footsteps have already been ordered. Now, what we have to do as the body of Christ, to ask God, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And all we have to do is ask the Lord and seek him for direction. Amen. He said in his word that he's faithful and just. Amen. And all we have to do is seek him for direction. And on tonight, I want to encourage you, if you're wandering here and there, amen, if you are stagnant, if you are confused, if you don't know where to go or what to do, what church should I go to, Lord? Should I stay here at this church or should I go to another? Lord, should I stay at this job or go to another? Lord, shall I deal with this individual, be it a family member or a friend? Should I deal with this individual or talk to this individual, or should I leave it alone? We have to seek God when we ask Him. We have to learn how to wait on the Lord. The Bible says to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, for He shall what? Strengthen thine heart. He said, wait, I say, on the Lord. The reason why He's telling us to wait on the Lord is because He knows and we know that if we move ahead of time, if we move too fast, if we don't wait on the Lord, amen, we're opening ourselves up for destruction. We're opening ourselves up for hurt. Why? Because the enemy, the Bible says, is as a roaring lion, and is wandering to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But there are many scriptures in the Word of God that tells us what we should do. And one of the things that I found in the Word of God that He tells us or instructs us in the Word to do, and that's to wait on the Lord. Because that's something that's hard for us as individuals or people to do. Some of us have issues with waiting anyway. We don't like to wait for someone. We tell them we come in to pick them up at church, or we wait and go to the movies, or whatever the case may be. We're ready to go. Amen. But then you have someone always in the crowd, or someone who is there that always has to be the one that you're waiting on to get ready, waiting on to leave. Or if you're waiting on someone to come pick you up, they tell you they'll be there at a certain time, and they're not there. To learn how to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord works in our favor. We don't see and understand it at that moment. Bless God. But waiting on the Lord serves a very valuable and tangible purpose in our life in Christ. We move too fast. Moving too fast, amen, we miss what God has for us. That's why our timing must line up with His time. Mm-hmm. Since He is a God that lives and dwells in eternity, and He created time for us. Mm-hmm. See, time was created for man to separate the night from the day, the evening from the morning, because man had to work, so there was a schedule that God had to place man on. But God lives and dwells in eternity, so our waiting on the Lord, it is no specific time limit. Mm-hmm. See, that's the trick to it. There's no specific time limit. You can't say, well, how long am I supposed to wait? Or how the Bible doesn't tell us, wait on the Lord for 3 days. Wait on the Lord. And David waited on the Lord for 7 days. No, but it tells us to wait patiently for the Lord. They're serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and many tears and temptations which befell me by laying and wait of the Jews. And this is the apostle talking here. We have to understand that we can wait on someone to do evil to them. Mm-hmm. See, there's someone out there who's waiting on someone. They're patiently waiting to do evil to somebody. Someone is waiting patiently to speak a word to someone or give someone a piece of their mind. But if you can wait to do evil and foolishness, truly and surely, you can wait on the Lord, because waiting on Him will benefit in the long run. Waiting on God not only to move in our behalf, but we're waiting on the Lord to return, to catch up the believers, His body, the church. A question tonight that I have, that I've been pondering and dealing with all week long. We notice and we see the trouble in our land. We see the tragedy that's been taking place. We the time you turn on the news, no matter what channel you turn to, you're hearing bad news, you're seeing negativity constantly, daily, almost like hourly, being distributed, being expressed or shown. And we're living in a day and time, the Bible said that these are the last days. And in spite of the hell that's breaking loose, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In other words, he's saying, I will give every man, boy, woman, and girl an opportunity to know me. I will give them an opportunity to come into the knowledge of who I am, to be able to develop and grow and develop a relationship with me. So what the Lord is doing, he's allowing us. This is, we're living in the gospel of the church, this dispensation of time. And we know that the doors of the Gentile age is closing. We know that God is on, the Lord is on his way back for a second return. And in so, the enemy will be loosed to do his dirt and evilness when this, the believers are being caught up. But my question tonight is this. How is it that we as the body of Christ, whether we are white, black, Asian, Hispanic, or any nationality, how is it that we can say we love God and we haven't seen him? But we don't even love our brothers and our sisters who we see every day. And somebody's saying, well, no, I know what you mean. I don't see some people every day. Yeah, see us. You may not see me individually or personally. I may not see you personally. Amen. But when I look at someone of your race, of the culture, I'm looking at you. And when I disrespect, when I belittle, demean, when I hurt someone, amen, that is of your nationality, your culture, then I'm hurting you also. So how is it that we can sit and look at the news and see all that's going on in the news? The bigotry, the hatred, the racism, the negativity. We see all the killings, all this hatred and bigotry and racism going on today like it has, like never before. And it has surfaced its ugly and reared its ugly head like it did back in the 60s and 70s and times past, when people thought it was okay, slave owners, when people thought it was okay to look down on or to consider someone less than you. Uh-huh. So my question is the church, the body of Christ, on the same level? Do we look at one another in the news and say, in disgust, in hatred, but yet the God that you serve created you just like he created me? The Spirit of God that supposedly dwells in you, he dwells in me. But you can't see past my color to worship God. I have to be the same color as you in order to worship God. And just like in the olden slavery days when the white man decided that he didn't want to worship or have church with the Negroes or the blacks or the coloreds, we had to go and start our own and had our own place of worship because their worship was different. From that through time, that's how things begin to manifest. And now you have white churches where black people are not welcomed, but they're talking about serving this almighty, everlasting, unconditional, loving God. But I am not welcome in your church. And then when you say, oh, yeah, you're welcome, but then I come and I felt I'm made to feel in an awkward or negative way. You sit and you look down on, you feel in a certain way about everyone of color. And because of that, you react to that. And your reaction, you show hatred, bigotry, and racism. How is it that calling, how is it that he is such an outcast, such a hated person by so many people, and they say that he's non-patriotic because he kneels, because he refuses to salute a flag and sing a song, a national anthem, to for a country who don't even honor what they're singing and saying. This country is just a song. The American, the anthem, the national anthem, and all this, and Pledge of Allegiance, all that is nothing without God. All that is nothing if the people are not treated equal. And the people are not being treated equal enough for you to say one nation, the God with liberty and justice for all, because there is no justice for all. Colin Kaepernick making a stand for right and being called all kind of things and getting hate mail and hate messages from individuals because of their stupidity. Their stupidity is what it is, because they didn't take the time to research and to read about and to study to find out who in fact wrote the anthem, who in fact wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, to read and to find out what's really going on. And the man that wrote the anthem, the man that wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, he was a slave owner. And he was an evil slave owner because he had eight slaves. He started out with two, worked his way up to eight. And with eight slaves, he worked them to death. No pay or anything. He worked them free labor and worked them to death. And off of their backs, off of their sweat, from their blood, sweat, and tears, he was able to be rich and become rich and to send his kids off to law schools and private expensive schools because of the money he made off of the backs of the slaves that he owned and mistreated and dogged them out. But yet you get an attitude with the man who stands and says, I refuse to sing a song to a country who don't even honor the song that they're singing about. There is no justice for all. Has not been justice for all. Genesis, will there be justice for all? But here we find ourselves in a place where we have to know the truth. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, some people are free in their minds and their spirit because they know the truth. And you wonder why an individual can walk with their head up, walk proudly and boldly, because they know the truth. And when you know the truth, can't nobody stop you, can't nobody hold you, can't nothing harm when you know the truth. But the reason why the people are falling away and perishing, because my people perish for the lack of knowledge. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. If we took the time to research, if we took the time to find out, and if you don't like to read, then get with somebody who do. Listen to someone who likes to read, enjoys reading, and knows, keeping up with the truth and what's going on. Yes. But see, stop walking around here in an ignorant or stupid bliss, not knowing anything. You have some folk that don't know anything and don't want nobody to know. But then you have some people who knew and know the story of the man who wrote the anthem, but yet can steal. They are mad because you have black people standing up for their rights. So now, because someone protests, because someone speaks up, because someone refuses to do something, because they feel that they're not being treated justly and fairly, so because they react and they're exercising their amendment right to refuse to stand or salute or anything when you're trying to tell me this is what's going on in the country, and then you have now what's going on with this man running for presidency and the hatred and bigotry that's in his heart. I listened to the debate between him and Hillary Clinton, And I was listening carefully at the questions I was asked. And the question was asked about the inner city, about the black, about the crime and the lives that were being taken, innocent lives being taken by police. Who told them and told the police, whether they're white or whatever, that you have the right to take somebody's life because you, who made you judge and jury? Whatever happened to shooting someone in the leg or in the arm to wound them, to put them down, and then go from there? Whatever happened to that? But no, you aim for the heart, you aim for the head, or you shoot them enough to make sure he ain't going nowhere. What's going to happen is the tables are going to turn. And when the tables turn, we will see how much of attention it gets and who all makes cries out, who's all starting to cry out now. But I don't understand, like I said, that we are the body of Christ now, God's people. How can we get along here on earth and worship together here on earth and say we love the same God, the same Jesus? Oh, he did so much for us, and we hoop and holler on Sundays, and we walk around like we got it. It ain't got nothing. Not if you don't have love in your heart for your brother and sister. You walk past me and with a snobby attitude or a stank attitude and can't speak to me. That's not God. I'm not welcome in your church, or if I come to your church to worship God, then I still have to, I feel funny, or you make me feel funny or out of place. That's not God. No. God is love. We say we know him and love him, and we've got to love those around us as well. I don't have to know you to love you. All I need to do is have God in my heart to love you. That's all we need. If we can have God in our hearts, we'll be all right. We have to get God in our hearts. People, it's time out for foolishness and playing games. We have to get serious with God and begin to go to him in prayer and begin to tell God and talk to God and explain and tell God, you got to move, Lord. We don't know what to do else. We have nowhere to go. Our trust is in you. God, you have to move. And if we petition God and go to God, he'll move for us. You be encouraged on today in spite of the situations that's going on around you, the things you face. You be encouraged knowing that God is with you and on your side. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for these that are listening in and tuned in on tonight. In spite of the hell that's been daily lives and struggles, God, we know that you're yet in control. We know that you're yet God and you're in control, and we're asking you to take control, God. Move in the behalf of your people even now. Oh, God, we need you like never before. We're thanking you for your grace and your mercy. Keep us in your care. Cover us with your blood, each and every one. Protect the children. Cover the children. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we bless your name. We give you the glory and the honor. Be encouraged. I love you in Jesus' name, and there's nothing you can do about it. Continue to trust in God and allow him to move and work for you. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name.